will of the Lord on that. Just a reminder, Brother Eric did mention we do have a missionary with us, and just because of the security of the area where he's going, we are not going to be live streaming tonight as far as the preaching is concerned. We may go ahead and live stream the music, and I may even do just a short read a verse of Scripture. But just for the security of our missionary and his family, we're going to forego the preaching tonight just to let y'all know. And that way there won't be any kind of a question about, what should we be able, or could we, did we have a problem or whatever. And this probably wouldn't be a bad idea to begin looking at another platform where we could actually do a more of a private Zoom type situation, if that would be secure enough to do it. But I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, it's interesting that when you get online, and if you will actually watch the Facebook live stream, how many of y'all have seen the Facebook live stream? You've gone back to watch it, okay? And you see the little words at the bottom where they got the voice recognition software. So if I were to say a person's name and say a person's mission field, and it happened to be a country that it was what we would call a creative access country, I'll just be honest with you. I don't trust the folks at Facebook. I just don't trust them. I mean, fact check that. Amen. Yeah, none of us trust it. Amen. So we just want to make sure that we do what's good for our brothers and sisters as they labor across the world. All right. Why don't you turn to Genesis chapter number 18. I've actually preached this before. And I probably shouldn't tell you that because, like, oh, I've heard this before. Well, maybe you have and maybe you haven't. But as I was looking over what I was wanting to preach, I actually came across this, and for some reason just could not get away from it. I have several places I want to go. In fact, I was going to preach on missions. We've got some missionaries here, and just left our church, home church in Tennessee, and was able to go to 3 evenings of missions conference with them. And so missions has kind of been on my mind. I even thought about preaching one of the messages that one of the brothers preached. And then when I gave the illustration, some of y'all would say, hey, I saw that message. Well, you didn't see it live, so it didn't matter. Okay, so I could have used the illustration and preached the same message. I'm not above that. I sing songs written by other people. Amen. Y'all do too. So we could preach other folks' messages. I believe it was Spurgeon said, there's nothing to be ashamed of when you borrow a man's axe, as long as the strokes are your own. And I thought, I like it. Absolutely. Absolutely. So if I borrow your axe, I'm going to swing it my way. I'm not going to swing it necessarily your way. So, but having said that, I'm going to swing this axe my way because it's my axe. So, amen. So Genesis chapter number 18, I'm just going to read a couple of verses here, and then we're going to look at the meat of the message in the as we go along. So look at Genesis 18. I'm going to read the first two verses here, and then we're going to skip ahead. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now the man who is the subject here is Abraham. Verse 9, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now I want you to look at verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah, what are the next two words in your Bible? Were old and well stricken in age. So not only does the Bible tell us that they were old, they were really old. And it says here, it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. I want to focus on those, that phrase, Sarah and Abraham were old. And I want to preach this thought this morning. I want you to listen to me. You're not too old. You're not too old. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. I pray that you'd just be glorified in all that's done this morning. I pray, God, that you would open up the hearts of your people to hear the word, and that you would be glorified in all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you're in Genesis 18. I want us to go to, just flip back a page, maybe if you need to. Of course, in my Bible, I can just look on the opposite page to chapter 17 and verse 17. And the Bible says this, "Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" So the Bible defines for us what it means to be old and well stricken in age. Our verses show that these two folks were just like what we would consider older folks in our day. And when I'm getting into this text, I want to just keep in, I want you to keep in mind the age of Abraham and Sarah. I want you to keep that in mind. But before we get to there, let's just look at the text here for a minute in Genesis 18. First thing I want us to see is that in Genesis 18, we have the appearance of these men. And then a little bit later, we have the announcements of the men. The appearance, first of all, the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 1, "And the Lord..." Now, Brother Michael mentioned this earlier in his devotion opening up Sunday school this morning. You'll notice that the word "Lord" is in all capital letters. What does that tell us? That tells us that that is the covenant name for God. But we would say Jehovah. I don't guess... I would ask you how the Jews pronounce it, but they don't pronounce it. So they pronounce it... I don't know if they... Do they say Yahweh over there? How do they... If they... I don't know. That's right. I forgot about that. Yes, sir. That's right. Amen. So having said that, when you see the word "Lord" in all capital letters, know that is the name that we would say for Jehovah God. What we're seeing right now is called a theophany. Theologically, this is called a theophany. It's simply where God makes an appearance to mankind. When God appears to mankind, we call that a theophany. Now, the reason that this is special... There are many examples in the Bible. You've got the still small voice to Elijah. You've got Moses in the burning bush. But this is the first time that we see God visiting earth, listen to me, in a human form. Because the Bible says in Genesis 18:1, "And the Lord appeared unto him," that's Abraham, the plains of Mamre. And in verse number 2, when Abraham lifts up his eyes, what does he see? He doesn't see God. He doesn't see an angel. What does he see? The Bible says he sees three men. He sees three men. And so we're seeing here that God is appearing to his servant in a human form. God has spoken to his servants since the fall. There's no doubt about that. We know that God spoke to Cain to get him to come the right direction. We know that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God gave Noah the specific instructions to build the ark. And we also know that God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. We see in Genesis chapter 12 and the verses following. But the thing that I want us to see here is that this is the first time that God comes down to earth, as it were. And if you will allow me to use this word tabernacles for a little while, in a human body. Now this is important because the Jehovah's Witnesses will tell us that God doesn't take on a human form. Jehovah God is God in heaven. He had a son, a spirit creature that he called Jesus, who was his first creation, makes everything else from that. But God doesn't condescend to become a man. Well, I want us to look in Genesis 18. We're going to see where Jehovah God, if you allow me to use this phrase, took on the form of a man. We see that here. Now, when Abraham is looking at him, he says, "Lord," and I do believe that would be Adonai in verse number 3, perhaps you may be able to tell me, but he says in verse number 3, "My Lord," he doesn't recognize him as the God of heaven. He does not recognize him. But what I want us to see is that God takes time in grace to appear to Abram. Now, he already tells him in Genesis chapter number 17, in verse 15, that Sarah's wife will be called Sarah, not Sarai. I'm going to bless her, and she's going to have a child. And that's when Abraham says, you know, "I'm 100 and she's 90. That just doesn't seem like it's possible. Well, God appears on earth in person to Abraham to give him the news, special delivery, certified mail from glory, in person to tell him one more time, hey, you're going to have a son. So there's an appearance, and then there are two sets of announcements. The one, of course, is the birth of Isaac. Later on in the chapter, we see where God is going to burn Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, what I want us to notice, again, is our text verses. In verse number 11, the Bible says that Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. We live in a society that does not value people who have reached a certain age where they cannot contribute monetarily to society. Here's what happens typically. Someone gets a little old, they fall, break a hip, they can't get out and do anything, and the kids, seeing dollar signs, shove said parent into nursing home, and they stay there until they die, and every so often they may make a token visit to go by and visit, but that's about it. You know as well as I do that that's not a caricature that happens on a regular basis here in the United States, and how sad that is. And I'm looking into the faces of folks right now. You've taken care of parents. You've done the best you can. And some, and in some cases, some of you have had to go for that option because that person was beyond the ability that you have been given by God to care for them. So I get that. I understand that. And of course, my wife is down right now. You know where she's at, where she's been for a year, taking care of parents. And there are some folks who would have no other use for a parent but just to stick them off into a home somewhere. And it's really sad because just because a person has reached a certain age does not mean that person cannot contribute to society. I don't know about you, but have you seen, when you go to Brother Thornsley's, they have adopted, when they said Grandma Trudy. Well, I just kind of figured that Grandma Trudy happened to be a grandma. Well, Grandma Trudy's not their grandmother. She's a lady who was saved in their nursing home ministry years ago. And as far as I can remember, maybe not nursing home member, she was saved under their ministry years ago. And because of her testimony, loving the Lord and them loving her, they brought her here to Indiana from Colorado to stay. And she stays with them. I just say praise the Lord. I think that's wonderful. It's wonderful to see that testimony where the family has sort of, if you will, adopted them. And here's the thing. With our current COVID situation, it is now even worse. It is so bad because there are people that we can't get in to see in the nursing homes. Come probably mid-March, middle of next month, it will be a full year since I have laid eyes on Brother Greg Johnson. Can't go by to see him. Can't go by to see him. And many of you understand that. And I understand because of the way the virus is and people concerned about, as Miss Debbie mentioned this morning, want to protect parents. I completely understand that. But it's just so sad that we have a society that does not value the folks who've actually paved the way. You know, the generation who does the maintaining does not work near as hard as the generation who dug the footers, as the generation who put the building up. It's one thing to maintain a house, but it's another thing to break ground and build the house. It's amazing, and I just want to mention to some of our young folks here, you're looking at some gray hair in the building, many folks who are the ones who were here on day one when the church started, and we have a duty to maintain that this church here. But I will say to you, the hard work has been done by the folks who've broken ground. We need to maintain it in a way that honors God and honors the sacrifice of these folks who have poured their lives into the church. But what I see today is I see just an appalling lack of respect regarding older people from younger people. I'm just going to go ahead and say it one more time, and I'm probably going to end up making folks mad, but that's my job. That's what I get paid to do is make folks mad, so I'm just going to make folks mad one more time. I was raised to where you put sir and ma'am on the end of the yeses and no's. And the reason I have all of my teeth is because I learned at an early age, yes, ma'am, was the proper response. You young people, listen to me. You ought to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Don't pop off to your mama. She backhands you. Tell the preacher, and the preacher will say, amen, mom, backhand her again. Amen. Exactly right. Young folks need to learn to respect their parents. And after I grew up, it wasn't so much a means, looking back now, of a respect out of fear, but really I was learning a respect for an older generation who really did not really have to do anything so much to earn my respect, except they had gone before me, they had paved the way, and I owe them that respect. We don't see that much from young folks anymore. We don't see that. So I'm looking at people like Amber. I'm looking at Isaac. I'm looking at Alexis. I'm looking at Savannah. I'm looking at Dylan. And I'm just saying, you know, it's not going to hurt you to say yes, ma'am, to your mama. It's not going to hurt you to say no, ma'am. Nope. Uh-uh. Those shouldn't cut it. You're not texting your mom. You're talking to your mom. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Amen. Kick that dog, shake that tree. I know it's good preaching. Amen. Yes, sir, to your dad. No, sir. And dads, let me just simply say this. It's our job to make sure that our children have that standard, because we're not the only men and our wives are not the only women with whom our children are going to have to deal with later on in life. Later on, they're going to talk to other people, and they need to understand that they're... I found out really that the way I was raised, we were raised really, really strange compared to all the other kids in the community, because none of the other kids had those expectations of respect toward the older generation. We need to maintain that generation of respect, and I want to see our young folks have respect. When we have the missionaries come in and they ask a question or respond to us, we ought to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. That ought to be a habit. I mean, you put your shoes on to walk outside. Most of you, unless y'all are rednecks, and some of y'all don't wear shoes outside in the summer. Some of y'all don't wear shoes outside in the winter. I don't understand that one. But just like I would normally put on a pair of shoes before I go outside, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, that's part and parcel of who I am. And I said I'd like to say this. The Bible tells us in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. Watch this. And fear thy God, I am the Lord. Respect for older generations is tied to a reverential respect for God. We don't see that this day and time. We don't see that. Proverbs 16:31 says this, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. I realize that not every gray-headed man has gotten those gray hairs from years and years and years of doing the right thing and being right. Some of them are gray-headed at an early age because of the sin that they've allowed into their lives. But the Bible tells us that the hoary head is a crown of glory for those folks who walk in the way of righteousness. And I want to encourage you young people, when you see your grandparents who love God, your aunts and uncles who love God, folks in this church who love God, there needs to be a manner of respect for them. So here's what happens. Dylan, come on up here. We're going to use you for an illustration. This was not the one that the brother used the other day. It's different. Come on up here. Get you woke up. All right. Now, so have a seat right here on the front row. Have a seat on the front row. So I'm a missionary, and I'm coming by, and I shake hands with everybody because that's just what missionaries do. They shake hands with people. They get to know folks because they're people. Okay? So they come up, and they shake hands. So the missionary, who's an older person, comes up and shakes hands with Dylan. So he shakes hands with Dylan. Now, what should Dylan do? Dylan, what should you do? You're shaking hands. You got a good grip. That's awesome. You're looking me in the eye some. That's pretty good. There's one thing you need to do. All right. Stay right there. Don't move. You ready? Nice. All right. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. Now, what a hoary head means, somebody's got gray hair. I spilled milk right here, and it has not come out. Okay. So I've got a little bit of gray right here. So what does rise up mean? Stand up. All right. So I'm a missionary, and I'm coming by to shake hands with you. So when I shake hands with you, what do? Stand up, boy. There we go. Now you shake hands. There we go. And you look me right in the eye. Good to have you here. Thank you for coming. All right. Very good. Have a seat. Have a seat right there. We're not done yet. All right. Let's try this again. All right. Hi, I'm missionary Joe Schmo. I'm going to... Boy, stand up before I knock you back down in your seat. Now, look at there. Now, what should you do? So when Brother Kraft... Now, watch me. I'm going to shake his hand. Watch this. No. Now, see, he's not getting up. Now, you know why he's not getting up? First of all, I'm not letting him because it's part of the illustration. I got my hand right here. But he don't have to rise up before me because I'm younger than he is. See, you get that? You get that? Now, he comes over to shake hands with you. What do? You stand up every single time. What if you're tired? Still stand up. What if you've mowed a yard all day long? Still stand up, right. And so, and if a lady comes by, what do? You stand up exactly right. All right, very good. Now you can go back and sit down. There will be a test on this later. All right, and if Dylan doesn't stand up for any of you folks, you let me know, and I'll just tell Grandpa, and it's on then. Amen. Amen. Now, just by way of illustration, we've given us what the Bible teaches regarding those verses. Now, let's get into the meat of the message. All that was introduction. That was all introduction. Amen. What a blessing. It's like, oh, man. So let me ask you this question. What does God expect from folks who are a little older? I'm looking in the eyes of people who are in their 70s, 80s. We've had folks in our church who've been in their 90s. We have members of our church who are of an advanced age. What can those people do? What can those people do? Well, I want you, if you'll look with me in chapter number 17, I want you to look at verse number 9, chapter 17. And I want you to keep your Bible open because we're going to move to the end of the chapter very quickly. Look at verse number 9. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Verse 12, he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. So God's covenant with the Jew is the covenant of circumcision. But I want you to look at verse number 23. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Now here's the thing I want us to see. God told Abraham, here's my covenant. It is going to be the covenant of circumcision. I want you to notice that in verse number 23, the Bible says that Abraham took Ishmael. That took is an action word. And says toward the end of the verse, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day. God instructed Abraham in that covenant of circumcision. And here's what's going on. That covenant of circumcision marks the people of God. Marks the Jewish people. That covenant is a personal covenant. The covenant of circumcision. It is a private covenant. It is a painful covenant. It is a permanent covenant. But here's the thing I want us to see. Abraham is how old? 99 years old in verse number 24. And the Bible tells us that he did exactly what God told him in the selfsame day. Number one, I want to say this, folks. You're never too old to be obedient. You never get too old to where you cannot obey God when he gives you a specific command to do. Now, God's not going to give you a command in this sense that you're unable to do. Abraham was physically able to do this. They had the means to do it. God had given them the knowledge of how to do it. And so it's an encouragement to the older generation that when God gives you a task, he's not giving you something that's impossible. It may be private, it may be personal, it may be painful, it may be permanent. But may I say to you, it is possible to do when God gives you that particular task to do. And I'm going to say this, that as a middle-aged person now, it is an encouragement to me to see older folks who obey the Lord. There was a gentleman down in our hometown, down in Roane County, I believe is where he was from, Roane County, Morgan County, and he had worked in the mines, I think, he had worked in construction, and maybe done a little mine work earlier on, but he'd done some construction. Anyway, he got to the point to where he was in his 50s. You know what people do when they're in their 50s? They start to think about retirement. Start thinking about maybe getting that house paid off. Thinking about what I'm going to do when I get to that age where I can retire. And of course, this was years ago, so he was thinking about retirement a lot earlier than many of us would think about retirement. But here's what happened. God began to work in his heart. And as God worked in his heart, God began to put a burden in his heart to go down south of the border into Mexico to preach the gospel in places down there, to build a couple of church buildings, and to get the gospel to a particular area down there. And for 10 years of that dear brother's life, before he passed on and went to heaven, he forgot about his retirement, forgot about all that stuff, and he went down. Instead of sitting around in a life of these, God called him to go down to preach. Now, God's not going to call everybody in here to preach. Don't get me wrong. But that was what God had for his life. And here's what he said. He said, when I was thinking about, or I was fighting against going to the mission field, he said, God, you've blessed me with a house. You've blessed me with property. All my kids live right here. You've done all these wonderful things to me, for me. And then he realized that he began to allow the blessings that God had given him to come between the God who was himself the blesser. And he said, Lord, thank you for the blessings, but I'd much rather serve you. You're never too old to be obedient. You're never too old to be obedient. Let me give you this. Look in chapter 18 with me, if you will. Chapter 18. Verse number one, you see, Abraham is in the tent door in the heat of the day. And so in this culture, hospitality is very, very important and very highly regarded, even to this day in the arid regions of North Africa, where the Bedouins will move from place to place and other areas. Hospitality is not only highly regarded, it's a means of keeping and preserving life. I'm pretty sure I gave this illustration whenever I preached this a couple of years ago, but there was a man by the name of Dan Truax who was out of Dr. Siler's church in Greenville, South Carolina years ago. And as he was a missionary in North Africa, one day he was out. Apparently he had gotten sidetracked as far as his path was concerned, wandered about in the deserts there, and actually had passed out. The Bedouins in that area saved his life, brought him into the tent. And Brother Truax said he wakes up and he's in the tent. These Bedouins are caring for him, and he begins to talk with them, and come to find out they had actually been watching him all that day. Even where he could not see them, they could see him. They took care of him, brought him into the tent, refreshed him, food and water, and in doing so, Brother Truax brought them the gospel. And what we're going to see in our text here, here's Abraham in a tent door. Watch this, he's there in the heat of the day. Now listen, say, well, he's lazy because he's sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Jump up about three or four verses before that. The man's 99 years old. You have a right to sit in the tent door in the heat of the day when you're 99. Amen. Amen. There's some folks, I wouldn't mind, we wouldn't argue if they sat in the tent, you know, tent door in the heat of the day if they were a little bit younger. So here's a man, he's 99 years old, but he's watching out for strangers, no doubt, that he might invite them into the shade of his tent and rest until they were prepared to depart. But I want you to look at this. Abraham is 99 years old. We've already seen where in verse 11 that Abraham is old and well stricken in age. What in the world can a man who's 99 years old do? Why don't you look with me in our text. Look at verse number 2. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, watch this, what are the next two words? He ran. I'm just going to tell you, you see me running, you better run. Because it's bad. If I'm running, you better take off. I probably should do more running. But here's a 99-year-old man. What did the Bible say? He ran to meet them from the tent door. Here's a man who is physically well stricken in age, but when he sees strangers and an opportunity to serve, he's not slowly sauntering up toward it. He is rushing toward a place of service. Notice what else he does here in our text. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and what are the next three words? And bowed himself. Watch this, toward the ground. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of folks who have trouble tying your shoes. And I'm not being funny. But could you imagine a man 99 years old, coming out, running toward folks, and then getting down and bowing himself down on the ground. The man's 99 years old. He can't do that. He's too old. Listen, friend, age in this text has no play on the obedience and the culture and the service that Abraham is performing. Yes, I understand that people say age is just a number, and I get that. But the Bible's told us that he's old and well stricken in age. So is Sarah. These folks aren't spring chickens. But what are they doing? Abraham, as an older man, is running. He's bowing in respect. Look at verse number 4. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet. Now, yes, this would have been a job for one of Abraham's servants. But would Abraham have performed that himself if necessary to show hospitality to his guests? I want to say to you, I see a servant's heart here in this text. Look with me a little bit more. Verse 5. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall go on. Verse 6. And Abraham, what? What's what your Bible say? Hastened. Do you see the action words here? Here's a man who's not letting any grass grow under his feet. Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready. What's the adverb? Quickly. Here's a woman who's in her 90s. Woman, get the bread going. And not yesterday, but right now. Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it. Make cakes upon the hearth. Look at verse number 7. And Abraham ran into the herd. How far away would the flocks have been? Maybe within a stone's throw. But the man runs to the herd. He goes out and he finds himself. He doesn't have one of the little cowpokes do it. He fetches his own calf, tender and good. Now he does give it to a young man, and the young man watches this, hasted to dress it. Can you see the urgency with which Abraham is working here? You see that? He has every excuse not to move fast because of his age, but he is moving in service to be able to provide hospitality for somebody else. And then we see here in verse 8 that he took butter and milk, the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Abraham is a man with a servant's heart. I want to say this, you're not too old to be obedient. You're not too old to have a servant's heart. But let me just simply say this to go along with my third point. You're not too old to be a blessing. You're not too old to be a blessing. You know, the Bible tells Hebrews 13:2, not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. But that's exactly what's going on in this text. But I want to say this. This man was 99 years old, and he was a blessing to 3 strangers. I wonder how many folks in here who are of maybe a little more of an advanced age could be a blessing to other folks. I wonder how you could be. Now, I can still remember the stories that folks would tell me. My dad's dad passed away before I was born. My mom's dad, there'd be a few little side stories, little life lessons that I would get every so often. But I want to ask you this. How many folks in here who are retired, how many of you are pouring your life into somebody, whether it's a child, whether it's a grandchild, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's somebody here in the church, are you pouring yourself into somebody? Are you hastening to serve somebody? Well, preacher, I just don't feel like it. I wonder if Abraham felt like it. I mean, this man's running. I mean, this man would have made a guy like Jack LaLanne look like he was old and out of shape. Here is a man who is quick to help somebody. He was quick to give of his own sustenance. I know folks that they have been gracious to teach their children, their grandchildren, maybe their grandchildren's friends, certain tasks in the workshop. Bro, that's a blessing. That needs to be done. That needs to be shown to those young folks. David, I'm going to tell you, brother, you're not married yet. You still haven't hit 20. yet. I mean, it's going to be a little while, but listen to me. When the time comes and you've got grandchildren, the Lord blesses y'all with grandchildren, you need to take them out into the welding shop and teach them something. You need to show them how to do it if we're still here. Somebody's got to work on the missionaries' vehicles when they come through. Amen. Somebody's got to do it. That needs to be done. So someone says, well, preacher, there's not a whole lot I can offer. You can offer some wisdom that will help somebody avoid pitfalls in their teens and 20s. I know there are a lot of folks on TV who will show you that the kids don't listen, but I want to tell you there are a handful of young folks who will listen to you if you offer them godly counsel. You've got something to contribute. Don't hide your candle under a bushel, but let that light shine and help young folks out. Do that. I'll simply say this. You're looking at a fellow who doesn't believe in folks being put out to pasture. I don't believe it. I'm the kind of fellow, I believe you just work till you kill over. That's just me. Maybe I'm wrong. Amen. So, Brother Artie, if we got to get you up here on some kind of a contraption, get you up here, you're playing that guitar. Preacher, I don't feel like playing a guitar. Brother Artie, too bad. Strap it around your neck and play the guitar anyway. Just the way it works. Amen. You have something to contribute. So you're not too old to be obedient. You're not too old to be a blessing. But I want you to look at this one here. Verse number 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. You're not too old to be a blessing. You're not too old to be obedient. And I want you to listen to me. You're never too old to birth a baby. I'll tell you how long ago it's been since I preached this. I think I preached it on a Wednesday night. And as soon as I said, you're never too old to birth a baby, I don't even have to tell you the look that I got from Miss Barb. You know the look that I got from Miss Barb. Amen. But I want to say this, you're never too old to birth a baby. God gave them a son when Abraham's 100 and she's 90. Now, as soon as I say that, obviously the first thing we think of is a physical child. And, you know, God could do that if he wanted to. God's in the miracle working business. God just decides he does certain things certain times. There was a special purpose in Abraham's life. He doesn't have to repeat that again to prove himself. But I will say this. The natural birth is a miracle, without a doubt. Mama goes down to the jaws of death to bring that baby into the world. But a greater miracle than that natural birth is when that young person passes from death unto life because somebody has given them the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There was a man in our church. I've told you about the older World War II Marine that I used to butt heads with in the first church I pastored. I told you about him. When he retired from his job, he went with the Rock of Ages to prison revivals. And that man had a love to see people saved. He and I disagreed on a lot. He and I disagreed on so many things, looking back. Of course, now I'm thinking looking back, some of that was just really, a lot of it didn't really matter. But here's what that man did. He would go to prison revivals in Tennessee. He would pay his way to go to Mississippi, to the large prison there in Parchment, and he would go out onto the grounds with that little Gideon New Testament, and he would show people how to be saved. And he was just so, so unique in the way he did it. He said he went in there, and there was this black man sitting over on a chair. And Brother Buss walked up to him and said, hello. And he told him his name. I tell you his name, and I'm not, because we're live streaming. The gentleman gave his name. And Brother Buss looked at him and said, sir, he said, I want to introduce you to Jesus. He just kind of pointed over to the chair just like Jesus was right next to him. He said, I want to introduce you to Jesus. And that man opened up the Bible, showed him where he was a sinner, showed him where Christ died for his sins, And that man bowed in that same spot right there, repented and trusted Christ. Later on, that gentleman got out of prison when he was a gray-headed old man. And they continued a correspondence for years and years. You say, he was too old to do anything. Yeah, he was too old. He had fought the Japanese, and he'd been on Tarawa and Tinian and Saipan. He had been there. So he was past his age. Well, he might have been past the age to carry an M1 into battle. But brother, he could open up that little Gideon New Testament, take it into a prison, open up the Word of Life, and let a man see that he did not have to pay for his sins. There was a God in heaven who had sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved, and let that man have the good news of the gospel, the grace of God. I will say this, you're never too old to birth a baby. So if you're here this morning and you are considering yourself to be in an advanced age, let me remind you that you're not too old. You're not too old. Now, do me a favor. Don't get out here and start running and hastening across the parking lot right now. You'll do what I did this morning when I went to feed the chickens. Yeah. Snow boots and everything, and I fell really good. So don't be running and hastening to fetch anything right now. But please look for places to serve. You probably know the places better than I do. You know the people who need to be ministered to. You can see those things. You're never too old to be obedient. You're never too old to be a blessing. And you're never too old to birth a baby. Amen. 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 Lord, we thank You for the day. Pray that You take the Word. Pray that You use it for Your glory. I ask You, Lord, that You just be glorified in all that's done today. I know we're getting ready to go in yonder and eat. I pray You'd bless our food, our fellowship together. I pray, God, that You would just manifest Your presence as we fellowship and give us a good time today, Lord, in You. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your blessings. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let's go and stand our feet, all hearts and minds clear.